Revelations chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine in stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. What an image here. It goes beyond my fantasy. The throne of God. I want to ask you, Brother Joseph, I heard some people in the past saying that here is the beginning of the Great Tribulation. And they said at verse 1, it says a door was opened in heaven and the first voice was as of a trumpet. The trumpet means the rapture. The rapture is when it says, come up hither. That's the rapture. And I will show you things to come means the Great Tribulation, which is coming after the rapture. Is this true?
No. This is false. People just, they just put two and two together because it seems like that. The trumpets of the rapture is not a trumpet. It's the last one. And it's the seventh, like it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. It's the last trumpet. That's the trumpet of the rapture.
Now, I was trying
to. Sounds in Revelation 11.
I was trying to understand this interpretation. It says the things to come is the great tribulation. But I don't see in the following scriptures the Great Tribulation.
No, this has nothing to do with it. This is connected to the paragraph of this message, these two chapters. See, chapter 4 and 5 is like a big paragraph, the throne room. And I show you things to come, what it means. You have to go to the next chapter, chapter 5, when the Lamb, Jesus, takes the book from the hands of God, and that's the book of the future, things to come. It is referring to the book which comes in the next chapter.
Mm-hmm. So this image of the throne, it's actually the way it looks now in our days?
Well, now I don't know. I haven't been in heaven lately. God can do what he wants in heaven.
Well, John had a vision of the future, or what is this?
Yeah, that's what God looks in heaven. He has a throne and he has all the,
and the rainbow
the
around.
The archangel and the most important around him.
It's beautiful.
And in fact, if you want to make a deeper study, you can see in Ezekiel 1:26, in chapter 1, Prophet Ezekiel, he had a vision, the same vision that John had. He saw the throne room. And he saw,
it exactly the same?
It's the same, yeah. He saw the four creatures around. He says the face of a man.
But isn't it that nobody ever saw God?
Nobody saw God, yeah. But God gave to his prophets glimpses. In fact, Ezekiel says, in Ezekiel 1:26, he said that on top of the throne, high lifted up, it was one. Yeah, let me read it to you. I don't want to misquote it. Ezekiel 1:26. Ezekiel was a prisoner in Babylon, and God gave him a lot of revelations. Here it is. Here 1:26 says, above the firmament, there was one over their heads, was the likeness of a throne, and the appearance of sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man upon it.
Amazing. God is described that he looks like a man.
Listen, remember in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God said he created a man to the image of God.
Yes.
All right. What does God look like? He looks like us. Or better said, we look like him. So he made us in his image. So
Amen.
The way we are made, 2 feet, 2 hands, a face, etc., is the best image possible imaginable because God looks like us. Okay, that's why I guess the devil got so jealous because he created us so perfect, so beautiful that he got jealous. And now after he rebelled, he's trying to destroy the last one of God's creation. So that's why he tried to kill us every day. So God looks like us, or we look like him, however you want to.
Amen.
All right. So Ezekiel saw the image of a man sitting on a throne. That was God. Okay. That's Genesis 1:27, and Ezekiel 1:26, as a cross reference. Shall we keep reading?
Yes.
Because we have a lot, long way to go.
Amen. So we're continuing in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Just amazing, this picture of the throne of God with all these beasts around.
Is it actually physical beasts?
The Greek doesn't say beast, it says creature. So some Bible translates in different ways.
And they were actually physical?
A better translation. It's, you know, these are the seraphims. These are the most important, the greatest. They're like God's defense. They stand around the throne. Everybody gets near, they kill them.
Mm-hmm. But why are they like this? Like eyes all around and lots of wings. I mean, sincerely, sometimes when I imagine heaven, I imagine the most beautiful things possible that I ever saw. But this is kind of strange to me.
No, but because you resemble them to worldly eagles and ox.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's like these are heavenly. These are really, really, really majestic. They have like the ox represents the strength. The eagle represents, you know, God above everything. The face of man, it represents God. Mm-hmm. You know, understand?
Mm-hmm. I want to back up a little bit to verse 5. It says, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps, which are the 7 spirits of God. What does that mean? God has 7 spirits, not just one, the Holy Spirit?
No, God has 7 spirits in front of him, and the problem means that they all pass to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So when they was praying about this detail, and what it came to me was Revelation 5:12, which we will read in a moment. And it's, can you read verse 12?
Yes.
5:12.
Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Amen.
Okay, so these are 7 if you count them.
Okay.
Oh, look at that.
So if you see, these are the greatest things there are. You know, the God has the greatest power, the greatest riches, the greatest wisdom, the greatest strength, deserve the greatest honor and glory and blessings. Mm-hmm. Understand? So this could be.
It could be.
When I was praying, I thought this seems like it to be the 7 spirits of God, which in a way I think they're all part of the Holy Spirit.
Hmm. Amen.
That's nice. I never heard this connection.
In this hand.
But I'm going to write it in my Bible. That's right. Very good.
Fine. So you understand about the 4 creatures
around. Yeah, but what do they represent, these creatures?
Verse 7, it says one is like a lion, part of the face. You have the face has 4 aspects. One part is like a lion, then as a calf, as a man, and as an eagle. It represents a lion, you know, strength.
Yes. Ah, okay.
The calf represents the other Bible terms, the ox. The calf represents like the strength, and the lion is like the majesty. He's the king of the animals in the forest. And then the eagle is the highest of all. See, each one of them represents the majesty of the lion, the strength of the calf, the height of the eagle, and then the godliness, the divinity of the man, which was made in the image of God. Understand?
Yes.
So these 4 creatures are like the top of the top of the top.
God's creation.
These have like, they have everything and represent the best that God has. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
What about in verse 4? It says, it's not only the throne of God, but there's also, around the throne there are 24 seats, and upon the seats there are 24 elders, clothed in white. Who are they?
Yeah, remember the disciple asked Jesus, they wanted permission to sit one on the right, one on the left, John and James,
yes.
And then the other disciple got jealous and rebuked them. And Jesus said, don't try to be proud, be humble, and they try to, you know, prefer your brother. It's like, everybody wants to sit next to God. Well, God has 24 elders appointed to be around him.
Are these like people that lived before and went to heaven, or they are created in heaven, or?
I don't know. I just,
too bad.
Sorry, I don't know everything. When I don't know. To me, these are like the top of the top that ever existed, right? It doesn't say angel, archangel, elders. Mm-hmm. So it could be like people, for example, like Abraham, David, you know, like the greatest people in the Bible. It could be, but I don't want to be dogmatic, but for sure, they're the ones that God counsels with, because God counsels in heaven, you understand?
And all they do is, it says they have no rest day or night, continually worship?
Yes, continually. So how is that possible?
Really?
Can you read the scripture with a reference?
This is in verse 8.
Yeah, go ahead.
And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.
See, when I didn't understand what true worship really is, it was a time I thought it was just boring, because I thought that's religious. Holy, holy, mm-hmm. Okay, I got to sleep. Mm-hmm. Because I was comparing it to earthly, religious, boring, once a week worship, all right? Because a lot of that is boring, because yeah. Just repetitive. But then one day the Lord spoke to me, and it kind of opened my mind a little bit what this means, what this
represents. And what does it mean?
Well, it represents like your subconscious. You know, just like if you ask a fish, don't you get bored of being in the water and, you know, they get oxygen from the water, you know?
And you ask moving your fins?
Yeah, you ask your lungs, I say, lungs, listen, don't you get bored of breathing all the time? Eyes, don't you get bored of seeing all the time? They could answer, say, no, we don't get, actually, your eyes enjoy seeing, your mouth likes to talk, sometimes too much. The fish loves the water. So it's like this worship, the way the Lord showed it to me, like if it was a boring, holy, holy, all repetitive, then Jesus was out of the spirit. He never did that.
That's true.
You see, the way Jesus prayed, you see in John 17, it was like a conversation with God. It was not some repetitive, dead, boring religious prayer. So this, the Lord told me, is in the subconscious.
It's like you said, Jesus went evangelizing most of the time. He wasn't right. Just worshiping nonstop.
Yeah, it wasn't like some religion say, what direction is such and such a seat, the center of the religion. So they turn over there, they put a carpet on the ground, they start worshiping. Like in the Old Testament, the Jews were worshiping towards Jerusalem. Now, what Jerusalem represents, the Messiah, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, is in our heart. You don't need to look in any earthly geographical directions.
I want to ask you, you say it's in the subconscious, but sometimes, I mean, like, I have bad dreams sometimes, and they come out of my subconscious. So what's my subconscious is where the presence of God is, or what? I don't understand.
Well, subconscious is just the philosophical terminology.
So what are like, you saying then, that out of your subconscious you worship God?
Yeah, I'm saying the center of your soul, that's where you really worship God. In our flesh, in our face, our smile, our words can be hypocrites and deceiving. Most of us some of the greatest Hollywood actors for hypocrisy. We need to be honest, okay? We're not honest enough.
So it's our subconscious that worships God or not?
Both. You know, there is a time to worship God out loud, like Jesus did. But then Jesus, in Luke 18:1, he said, pray all the time without ceasing. Driving a car, how can you do that? You are cooking, how can you do that? You're taking care of a baby crying. How can you do it? How can you get on your knees? Well, you meditate on the word. You think. And in your subconscious, just like you're singing a song continually. Have you ever been just like you walk around the street or you're doing a job and in your mind you sing a song?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what it is. It's a continual worship. You don't even think about it. It's like your lungs, your brain, let's say your brain, doesn't think about, okay, now I'm going to breathe. 1, 2, 3. Inhale, exhale, 1, 2. You don't do it. You just do automatic. You don't even think. Through worship, you don't think about it.
Part of you, basically.
It's just like breathing. So this representation, holy, 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 which I couldn't understand, and I know very few people understand what this means, It's praying the way Jesus was doing it. If in heaven, all they do is just holy, holy all the time, what a boring place. Hmm. Well, then Jesus was out of the Spirit. He didn't worship like that. Jesus never went around saying holy, holy, holy. But in his heart, I'm sure he did.
Amen.
Okay.
Basically, it's connection.
It's connection, it's fellowship, it's communion, it's love. In one word, it's love. Like when you love a girl or a guy, a boyfriend or a husband, whatever, you don't say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You guys say, Lisa, can you cook something? I'm getting hungry. So, you know, love is like, it's in your heart. You meditate on it. Oh, I wish I was with my girlfriend. Oh, I wish I was with my boyfriend, whatever. You just desire it. Mm-hmm. You know, you skip your dinner to go to your girlfriend. Okay, so that's love. So that kind of love is nothing to do with Sunday morning religion. That's just a schedule. 10 o'clock, we pray. 11 o'clock, we shake hands and goodbye. Jump in the car, go watch TV. That's not the way we worship God. That's the way the Pharisees were doing it. Now, you can do once a week, okay, an official meeting, but you better worship God in the secret of your closet. You close the door, worship your Father who's in secret. That's true worship, in secret. The number one secret way to worship God, the number one secret closet is in your heart, the real temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
We better go here.
Yes, continue reading. Verse 10. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, and worshipped him that lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created.
All right, so.
Amen.
Understand?
So also the 24 elders continually worship.
Yeah, it's a continual worship, of course. When they, so sometimes they actually get on their knees and the crown falls off the head continually.
What does that mean? But the crown falls off the head. Is that to represent something?
Yeah, it means that.
It's not
that
just something physical.
It doesn't matter if we, you know, if you're a pastor, if you're a big shot, if you're a big musician, if you're the greatest singer in the world, if you're the greatest disciple, when you enter in the presence of God, you better drop your crown. You don't go in front of God and say, I am King David of Jerusalem. I am the great pastor of the greatest church. You better drop your crown and say, I deserve hell. Jesus Christ saved me by his blood from the cross. I don't deserve to be here. Every time you pray, don't have to wait until we go to heaven where 24 elders are. You need to do this every time you pray. Every day. Drop off your authority, drop off your anointing, drop everything, your talents, everything. Get on your knees, whether it's physically, which is a good idea, or even if you're driving the car, get on your knees in your heart.
Amen.
In your heart, we should remain on our knees. If we don't do that, we already put the devil on God's throne in our hearts, which is the real temple where God lives and wants to live and wants to be worshipped. Not with our mouth, which often can be hypocrite. In our heart, the best and true worship that God wants is the worship in secret. John chapter 4, Jesus said that to the Samaritan, the true worshipper shall worship in spirit, for such are the true worshippers that God is looking for. Not in Jerusalem, not on this mountain, not in Rome, not in New York, not in my church, not in your church. In spirit and truth.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.